Welcome to the Faculty Podcast, covering a full spectrum of topics from finance to architecture. After listening to this podcast, head over to the Faculty platform to stream our full archive of 8,000 video insights.
This book is meant to be a prelude to a more detailed examination of the politics that I'm interested in developing, and as well as the ethical stance that I want to defend. So this is really at what I've called in this book at the meta-ethical level. It's a deeper justification from the perspective of the history of philosophy and broad fields in philosophy, metaphysics, ontology, as well as ethics and political philosophy, to set the stage for what I would like to be doing next. These are questions and figures that I've been working on for well over 30 years. The first book I read in philosophy when I was a teenager was Plato's Republic. So that's even more than 30 years. And Plato's Republic is a major focus of this book. And I started working on Heidegger, 35 years ago, as a figure who presents, to my mind, one of the most important critiques of the Western tradition that I want to confront. And so in this book, I'm bringing two of my longstanding interests, Plato and Heidegger, into confrontation with one another. For Heidegger, Plato is a figure who set Western philosophy, as well as the attendant politics and ethics, off on the wrong track in Western history. And I am interested in both taking that critique, not only of Plato, but the whole subsequent history of philosophy and politics and ethics, seriously, taking that seriously, but also defending my interpretation of Plato against Heidegger, and doing what the Hegelians would call an Aufhebung of Heidegger. That is, taking his critique philosophically seriously, but also not simply capitulating to it, but rather drawing from it to enlarge the conversation. So really, this is a confrontation of Plato and Heidegger that resolves in Plato's favor, but by drawing upon the kind of questions that Heidegger is asking Plato to answer, as I see it. That is one that I draw from Heidegger and want to put into play with Plato. Heidegger doesn't explicitly use the term in the way I'm doing now, but what I mean by it is that to be human is to be situated in a body that is one's own, in a historical time and culture and language. We don't exist as disembodied thought beings. We exist as the individuals who we are, as part of a rich community that has a deep history, in all circumstances. So in that sense, we are all situated. That is where we begin with our understanding of the world. We can examine it, we can transcend it, but we always have to come back to it because we are tied to our embodiment and to the world that our embodiment brings with it. For me, that is really the core of the confrontation between Plato and Heidegger. Heidegger's argument against Plato is that he effectively abandons the understanding of what it means to be human as a situated historical being. For Heidegger, all that we are is our situatedness. Our way of understanding the world is entirely grounded in the historicity into which, to use his language, we are thrown. And Plato, according to Heidegger, constructs this world of eternal ideas that exist in a timeless zone that we can find access to through philosophical reflection, and that that's what truly exists. What's truest about us is our ability to leave behind everything that is situated in us and achieve this kind of pure abstraction in the realm of the ideas that are eternal, changeless, and transcendent. And for Heidegger, that entirely destroys what it means to be human. But my argument is that Plato, in fact, entirely understands this point. And that is why all of his dialogues are dialogues. They're dialogues between human beings. They are dramatic literary productions that show human beings in their context struggling with very important questions about what it means to be human. And my argument is that, yes, we always begin as human, as situated. That is the human condition. But if we cannot transcend our situatedness, there is no way to break free from the limitations and confines of our present understanding. But we all have experienced that breaking free at some time in our lives. And we break free, we turn around and examine the world that we have been in hitherto, and we reconstitute it in the light of something that broke us out of it. And we return to it and make new sense of it. And that process of being situated, embedded in a living world, having occasion to break away from it, and then return to it and reconstitute it, is what I think Plato understood about the human condition. And what Heidegger misses is that the capacity for transcendence, as well as the reality of our embeddedness, our situatedness, the confrontation between those two is what most properly makes us human. And in my argument, Plato, in fact, gives us an access to that way of being human that is deeper and capable of responding to Heidegger's radical critique. We are rooted in a world that we are born into. We did not choose to have the world that we have. We do not choose to have the understandings that we grow up in as children and so on. To be human is to be enmeshed in a world of meanings about everything that is meaningful to us, from the most trivial things to the most grand or grandiose ones. We do not choose that. So we are always rooted in a historicity of our being human. But my argument is that although that rootedness is profound and often blinds us to what might be beyond the world as we see it, we are capable of breaking free. But if you entirely destroy our rootedness, you destroy also what it means to be human, so that there's a dialectic between our rootedness and our departures from our rootedness that, if done correctly, ever expands the horizons of our understandings and makes us open to fresher questions that go on to challenge what it means to be human in our rooted existence. Well, it is what I call the polemical ethics, or polemical ethic, as what it means to be human, to engage in this cycle of interpretation and reinterpretation, being open to the inconsistencies of the meaning of the world in which we are embedded, and not to see those as a threat, but as an invitation to a broader and deeper understanding of the world, so that we force ourselves to reintegrate those things that stand out and don't make sense into a larger understanding. With the understanding also that that is a process that never should end. We should welcome it rather than being afraid of it, because it's what enriches the experience of a thoughtful life, as well as an engaged life with the community in which we belong, however we construe that to be. My future research takes a bold departure from the book that I've written on Heidegger and Plato to examine my own situatedness as an American. America itself is grounded in a profound contradiction between the stated ideals of its founding, that all men are created equal, and the historical reality of slavery, racism, colonialism, genocide. And if I'm to be true to the polemical ethic that I've advocated, I, as an American, need to confront that and try to make sense of it. And I am doing that in a philosophical conversation with a figure who I think is a profound thinker in the American tradition, and that's the abolitionist and civil rights actor, Frederick Douglass. And if I can just read to you one quote from Frederick Douglass, which is in the conclusion to this book and leads into the next one. Douglass gave a lecture in the 1860s during the American Civil War called Pictures and Progress on Photography and the Human Condition. And it's an extraordinary talk. And in that talk, he says, poets, prophets, and reformers are all picture makers. And this ability is the secret of their power and achievement. They see what ought to be by the reflection of what is and endeavor to remove the difference. And to me, that is a kind of archetypical Platonic statement, to see in the idea or the ideal what ought to be, but also not to be blind to one's embedded situated reality, but to have the courage and the commitment to try to, as he says, remove the difference in the contradiction between the real and the ideal. And so I am looking at not only his own career, but placing him into philosophical dialogue with other figures in the philosophical tradition, both past and present.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Head over to the faculty platform to stream our full archive of 8,000 video insights.